Hello and welcome back to Let's Talk Packaging, the show that unwraps the science, the art, and the business behind what keeps our products safe and sound. I'm your host, Alec, and folks, today we are diving deep into the world of fresh food. You know, when you're at the grocery store, what makes you pick up one salad over another? What keeps those berries looking perfect? It's all about the packaging. And to help us get to the bottom of it, we have a true heavyweight in the ring. He's an expert in food preservation and material science. Please give a warm welcome to Eric. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Alec. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Eric, let's set the stage. What's the nightmare scenario for a food brand when it comes to packaging?
The nightmare is that a premium, beautiful product you spent months developing looks unappealing on the shelf, or worse, tastes off or spoils before a customer even buys it.
And that hits the bottom line hard.
Absolutely. Product recalls can cost tons of money. Customer complaints on social media can damage a brand's reputation for years. And often, the problem isn't the food itself. It's a packaging decision that was made months prior, usually based on incomplete information or just focusing on the cheapest upfront cost.
Right, like those old-school polystyrene foam containers. They seem cheap, but what's the hidden cost?
The hidden costs are enormous. Foam doesn't protect the product well, which leads to a shorter shelf life and more food waste. Paper-based options can look eco-friendly, but they struggle with moisture and have very weak barrier properties. These problems create a cascade effect through the whole supply chain.
A cascade effect? So it's not just about one spoiled tub of potato salad.
Exactly. Retailers face higher labor costs handling returns, and ultimately, the consumer loses trust. It all traces back to that initial material choice.
Okay, so you've painted a pretty grim picture. But fear not, listeners, because there's a hero in this story, and its name is PET. That's polyethylene terephthalate, for the science fans out there. Eric, why is PET stepping in to save the day?
It's because it addresses these problems directly. The winning material for fresh food needs a few key traits. It must be clear, have strong barrier properties, be reliably produced, and be recyclable. PET checks all of those boxes.
Let's break that down. I've heard you call this a three-step system. Step one is about visibility. Consumers buy with their eyes first, right?
Yes. PET's crystal clarity is a massive advantage. It lets the quality of the food speak for itself. That direct transparency directly influences sales, and interestingly, lowers food waste because consumers can make a better assessment before buying.
And that clarity helps further up the chain too, doesn't it?
Does. Food service operators and retailers can instantly check product quality without opening packages. This simplifies inventory management and cuts down on handling costs. In a fast-moving industry, that optical clarity provides a significant competitive edge.
Okay, step two, extending shelf life with superior barrier protection. This sounds like the real sciencey part. How does PET keep my spinach from wilting?
It comes down to its molecular structure. PET naturally has an excellent oxygen barrier. Oxygen is the enemy of freshness for many foods. By keeping oxygen out, it extends the shelf life significantly compared to materials like paper or polystyrene. It can be the difference between profit and waste.
I've seen packages that talk about modified atmosphere packaging. Is that related?
Yes. MAP is when a specific gas mixture is used inside the package to keep food fresh. Many materials need extra coatings or layers to handle MAP, but PET's natural barrier strength is often sufficient on its own, which simplifies the packaging process while maintaining the highest levels of safety and consistency.
Simpler is always better. Okay, on to step three, and it's a big one these days. Preparing for the future with sustainable options. How does PET stack up on the eco-friendly scale?
This is one of its greatest strengths. PET has one of the most developed and robust recycling infrastructures among all food packaging plastics. This isn't just a theoretical, it can be recycled situation. There is a stable, established market for post-consumer PET content.
So it's future-proof. As regulations tighten and consumers demand more green options, PET is already positioned to meet that demand.
That's the idea. Its ability to adapt is a key advantage. Instead of a packaging system becoming obsolete due to new regulations, a PET-based system can evolve with them.
All right, Eric, I have to play devil's advocate for a second. A lot of listeners are probably thinking, okay, but isn't all plastic just plastic? Isn't it all just bad? What do you say to that all plastic is bad misconception?
That's a common and understandable viewpoint, but it overlooks critical differences. Lumping all plastics together is a mistake. Compared to other common food plastics, PET has a much stronger environmental profile.
Such as, give us a comparison.
Well, polystyrene, or PS, is very difficult to recycle. Polypropylene, PP, often lacks widespread collection for recycling. And while bio-based plastics like PLA sound good, they can contaminate existing recycling streams and require very specific conditions to actually compost. PET has higher recovery rates and a more established system for food-grade reuse.
That's a fantastic clarification. It's about choosing the right tool for the job, not swearing off the whole toolbox. So let's talk money, because money talks. Is PET more expensive?
Smart packaging decisions look at total system costs, not just the price per pound of the material. While another material might be cheaper up front, PET often delivers a lower total cost.
Because of all the things we just talked about, less waste, fewer returns.
And don't forget transportation. PET is lightweight. That means lower fuel usage, lower shipping costs, and a smaller carbon footprint compared to heavier materials like glass. When you apply that to millions of packages, the savings compound very quickly.
Though the final verdict seems to be a clear win for PET. It offers clarity, a longer shelf life, and solid sustainability. It's a perpetual success. Get it?
But you have that one, Alec. But you're right. The leading companies in the fresh food space recognized these advantages years ago. The question for other brands is whether they can afford to keep using materials that are actively causing problems in their supply chain.
There you have it. The choice is clear. Literally. Eric, this has been incredibly insightful. Thank you so much for breaking it all down for us.
It was my pleasure. Thanks again for having me on the show.
That's all the time we have for today on Let's Talk Packaging. A huge thank you to our guest, Eric, and to all of you for listening. Join us next time as we continue to explore the fascinating world of packaging. Until then, stay fresh.